Nancy sometimes takes her outside to play, but I can't go because they are afraid someone will see me. I don't want to get them in trouble. Where would I go if they were gone? Would Nancy let me go if Philip wasn't around? I don't think she would because she didn't let me go when Philip was sent back to prison that 1 month. She had the opportunity then, and I didn't even know it. It sure would be nice to go outside once in a while. Philip has built a room outside of the room I'm in. Even though it is outside, I still can't go anywhere else without Philip or Nancy. This new room is enclosed on 3 sides, and he has put my toilet in there, along with a mini fridge, and he has hooked up a sink. I can get water. Sometimes I go sit on the pot while A is playing inside, just to get a little break from her. I know this is wrong and I shouldn't mind being with her all day, but it is so overwhelming at times. When she realizes I am gone, she starts to bang on the door, and I tell her I will come in when I'm finished with the bathroom. But she throws a fit and screams and acts like she can't bear to be away from me. She's usually a good girl, but when she has a tantrum about something, I just don't know what to do. Nancy said I should set up a chair in the corner and make her sit there. I did try that, but she just gets up and does what she wants. She's very headstrong. Our days are usually spent playing together. She has a myriad of toys that Nancy and Philip have brought her. She likes watching Sesame Street and Barney in the mornings. And I like to teach her ABCs. She's 3 now, and I'm still breastfeeding her, which is hard because she is bigger now and has teeth. I constantly have to tell her not to bite me. Philip says I am doing the best thing that I could possibly do for her by breastfeeding. I don't know how I know I'm pregnant again, but I know I am. My body has this full feeling. The last time he made me have sex with him, he didn't pull out in time, and the semen went in. He said this time would be the last time ever. I don't know if I can believe him, because he has said that many times before. He says he's been working on his problem, and that I won't have to suffer anymore. I don't know what has made him say he is going to stop. I know it is something I have always wanted him to do. I hate it. Each and every time. There is no enjoyment for me, even though he says one day I will enjoy it. I wonder how he will feel about another baby. I know he loves A and swears to God that he would never harm her in any way. He said he was holding her in his arms in the studio one day, and he prayed to God and cried out, "God, please don't ever let me hurt this little girl." He said God cured him of his sexual problem, and that's why he says he will never touch me again. I want to believe him, but it's hard to believe that he will never touch me again. Sometimes I dream about running away, but I have nowhere to go, and now I will have another baby. I can hear the van. The van that Philip drives has a very loud motor, and although I have never seen it, I can hear when he leaves and comes home again. It reminds me of the commercial on TV about the Dodge vans having Hemi engines. Hemi engines are very loud. I can hear the van when it comes or goes. At times, I feel anxious when I hear the van leave. Mixed feelings make my pulse accelerate. I like it when he's gone, but I worry about being alone. I know he will always return. I don't know how I feel about that either. I do not want to be alone, but when he is gone, there is no sex to worry about. I have not left this place since the trailer home drive. When he comes in with fish and chips from Jack in the Box, I smile and say thank you. He says he has a surprise and says I am going to the studio so that he and Nancy can put it together. I tell him that I have been feeling sick and that I think I'm pregnant again. And he says he knows, and that he will take care of everything. He says he's really happy, and that he knows it's going to be another girl, because God knows that's what he needs. I am 17 years old, and about to have my second baby. I go to the studio and play with the baby for a while, and when they come back hours later, I follow them back into my room and, to my surprise, see a big red bunk bed. It is humongous. The bottom bunk is a full-size bed, and the top is a twin. The bottom sticks out about 2 feet from the top bunk, so there is room for me to sit without bumping my head. There's a ladder that leads up to the top bunk, and A wants to climb it. Philip helps her up, and she is excited to be up so high. They ask if I like the color, and I say yes, I do, even though I don't really like red. I would have preferred blue or black or even silver, but they both thought that I'd really like the red color. The room looks even smaller now. I think about how there's not much room for A to play anymore. But, oh well, it is a nice bed. I'm also a little bummed because now I can't rearrange the room too much anymore. That was one of my most favorite things to do, to make the room look different from time to time, because everything is so much the same. Philip has been working outside on the fence every day, and it is finally done. I am so excited to go outside. I will have so much more freedom now. Nancy is here too and says I should close my eyes so it will be a surprise. I close my eyes, and as Philip takes A and I take Nancy's hand and we walk out together into the sunshine, I can feel it, the sun, warm on my face. There is an old picnic table and bench out here, and Philip and Nancy say that we can have barbecues out here and be a real family. I am really looking forward to having a family and doing things again. I have been cooped up for so long. There's also an old dresser out here too, and on it is a cute little guinea pig in a cage. He's so cute. Philip says it's for me. He said his neighbor didn't want him anymore. He said she has so many animals. She asked Philip if he wanted a guinea pig. I pick him up and he squeals a little. I show him to A and she starts to laugh and rub her nose in his soft fur. I have been watching this new TV show lately called Seventh Heaven. The family in it has a dog named Happy. I think I will name the guinea pig Happy. Nancy doesn't seem to like the name I've chosen for the guinea pig. She keeps calling it Guinevere, even though it's a boy. I think it's weird. But she can call it whatever she wants, I guess. Nancy seems strange to me sometimes, but I still really want her to like me. Philip says he has many talks with her and encourages her to be my friend more. I wonder if that will ever happen. Sometimes she tells me how much she hates the summertime. She says Philip and she will drive to school playgrounds and parks and videotape little girls. Sometimes she has to entertain little girls and get them to do the splits and sit with their legs apart so he can videotape it secretly. She says the camera is hidden, and one time he cut a piece out of her purse and put the camera in there. So weird and disgusting, I think. He said he was working on his sex problem. It doesn't seem like it to me. I know he still smokes crank and weed with Nancy, and he uses the videos to masturbate with. I still don't understand his problem. All I know is that he has one. At least there are no more runs for me now. I hope he leaves those other kids he videotapes alone. The starting of printing for less. Philip has rented a computer from the rental store. Philip has also bought a Canon printer. He has plans to start his own business. He says many people are in need of business cards, and he says he wants to start a business and make them for a lot less than other companies. His first job comes from his old boss, Marvin, from the nursery. Philip quit that job around the time that he finished the fence. Nancy once told me that before that job, Philip worked at the convalescent home she worked at as a janitor. She said everyone loved him there, but that the manager had to fire him for coming in late too many times. It was because he was always doing drugs. Nancy said that's the reason they fired her too. One too many times coming in late. She found another job working at a program called CAP, Client Assistance Program. She loves her new job, she says. Working with the clients, as she was told to refer to the disabled people, is really fun, she says. She says one of the clients, named B, is really loud and yells everything, but is a very sweet person. She doesn't like the other workers too much, except for one named C, who doesn't gossip too much. Philip eventually wants her to stop working when the new baby comes. He wants to have the printing business up and running by then. I like the new computer. It's new and can do so many things. He had an older computer, but it was black and white and very old. This one is amazing. Philip lets me come travel from next door to the studio at certain times of the day now, like when Nancy is at work. I bring the baby over, too. I play with A on the computer. Philip has bought a few learning games for the computer. One is a Sesame Street letter and counting game. A is learning so much. When she has a nap, I learn a lot about the computer, too. It is color and has an operating system called Windows. Philip has bought a program to make the business cards on called Corel Print House. I like to make things for the baby with it. I am putting together a scrapbook, and I also like to write stories with a program called Word. I think I can make designs look better than Philip can. He has showed me some of the business cards he has made, and I think I can make them better. I think I can improve the cutting, too. His are not cut right because he wants to get it done in a hurry and tries to cut 10 sheets at once. I think he should cut one at a time. He says that would take too long. I tell him no, it won't, and ask if I can try one sheet and see. He lets me try, and I'm able to make a pretty good cut. I have the idea if I put tiny lines for me to cut on, it would make it much easier. So I try that on the computer and print a new sheet, and they are much easier to cut. They look good, too. The next day, he brings home my first job. It is a wedding announcement for someone. I work up a design, and he takes it to the customer and gets it approved. When he brings it back to me, I print them on the cards the woman has selected to use. The job turns out great, and I am very proud of myself. Philip says that he thinks I should do the workups, and he will get jobs and help with the printing. I continue to learn and get better using the computer, and Philip brings in more and more jobs. It's so nice to not be bored all the time like before. Birth of second baby. On November 12, 1997, I wake up at 11 p.m. in terrible pain. The pain has come out of nowhere. I don't remember feeling bad the previous day. A is asleep beside me, and I know I must wake her up and bring her with me next door to the studio where Philip and Nancy are sleeping. At least I hope they are sleeping. I know the night before they were on a run, but I hope they are done for now because I think the baby is coming. I wake A up and tell her that the baby is coming and we need to go to Daddy. I hope that Philip doesn't get mad that I am coming to wake him up. But as the pain gets more unbearable, I have no choice. I start the walk over with A's hand in mine. When we walk the few feet over to the next building, I must let go of A's hand for a second and use both hands to yank the heavy studio door open. Sometimes, during the day, when I am alone, I stand and stare at this door that was once my prison. I am in another kind of prison now. free to roam the backyard, but still prisoner, nonetheless. I feel I am bound to these people, my captors, by invisible bonds instead of constant handcuffs. No one seems to care that I am here. As I finally get the door open and once again gather A's hand, I help her up the steps and into the warm room beyond. It is dark, and I fear falling, so I flick on the light. Philip has once again erected the wall that used to be my first prison and is now the room they used to sleep in. He has made the top shelf that once held one of his keyboards into a bed, and the bottom part is another bed. He has sold or pawned most of his music equipment away for drug money and diapers. He is sleeping in the top bunk as I shake him awake, with a smile on my face and hope in my heart that I will not get in trouble, but also not really caring at the moment. He comes awake with a start. He must have been sleeping heavy. He asks what the matter is, and I tell him I think the baby is coming. He wakes Nancy, and they fly into action. Nancy going to the house to get towels and hot water, and he's getting the first aid kit and whatever else he needed for the delivery. He tells me not to worry. He knew what to do. The contractions were coming closer and closer, and now I really just wanted to lie down. Nancy came back and is making me a place for me to lie. I lie down, and I feel much better. The lights are so bright after just waking up, but I know Philip needs to be able to see. He feeds me ice chips and puts cool compresses on my head. I take codeine for the pain. I didn't really want to take anything that would hurt the baby, but Philip assured me that there was no lasting effects to the baby from codeine. I had taken it with A, and she was fine. Nancy turned the TV on for her and entertained her so she wouldn't worry about me. I could hear her in the other room asking all sorts of questions. All I could think of was me, though, and how much it hurt. It wasn't long before I was pushing the baby out. With A, it felt like I was in labor forever. This one seemed to be going by so fast. In a matter of hours, I gave birth to my second daughter at 2:15 a.m., November 13, 1997. Philip later named her S. Nancy and Philip wanted me to pick a name out of the Bible for her middle name. Nancy suggests Ruth or G, and I like G better. Philip is reading the Bible a lot more now. I'm not sure what he is looking for. It gives him a focus, and I am thankful for that. Philip says that he has torn up the Bible 2 times now. One time, he threw the pages in his bucket, which he uses to go number 2 in outside. He said he was fed up with God at one point and didn't think he would ever pick up the Bible again. Well, something must have changed because he has a new Bible now called NIV. I see him reading and talking to Nancy about it every time I see them. He is mentioning Bible studies for me and Nancy. Philip says that with God's help, he's coming to understand the voices that he hears, and God has cured him of his sexual problem. I will believe that when I see it. Reflection. The night before I am to testify in front of a grand jury, I had this dream. I was in this interview room with Philip and Nancy. Philip was behind this big desk to my right, and Nancy was sitting in a smaller desk straight in front of me. I was sitting in a swivel chair in the center of the room. Philip was asking me all these questions that I can't remember, and I was smirking at him and telling him I wasn't going to answer any of his questions because I didn't have to. He then said it looked like I needed a hug, and when he started to get up, I yelled for the officer who was supposed to be right outside the door. When the officer doesn't come, I immediately rise and say, "You can't come near me and I make my way to the door. I go down the hall to find the officer that was supposed to be guarding me in the room. He is with another officer, and he is in his underwear, saying he was sorry, but he needed to get dressed. Then I woke up. To me, this is a dream about how hard it is for me to trust in law enforcement. They weren't there when I needed them. Therefore, in the dream, they were not there for me. Knowing this and thinking this are two different things for me. I know when I go into the grand jury room, I will be well protected and cared for. On the other hand, the government failed me for 18 years, and that will take time to heal from. Raising the girls in the backyard. The new baby has just turned 2 weeks old. I am the mother of two healthy girls. Philip and Nancy are letting me stay in the studio room with them. Philip says we can be one big family now. He says he's going to work super hard on the printing business. He wants Nancy to quit her job at CAP to be able to stay home and help with the baby and the business. He says he will get us all the jobs we need. My days are consumed with the babies and printing for less. A is now 3, and I'm trying to get her to stop nursing. I can't nurse both of them at the same time. Philip says I am doing the best thing in the world for the girls. He has told me all the benefits of breastfeeding. I know it's good to breastfeed, but a girl can only do it for so long. A will just have to stop. The name S just does not suit the new baby. We end up calling her G. She was born with a growth above her eye. It feels like a ball right at the end of her eyebrow. Philip has felt it and thinks it is nothing but a cyst. I wish I could have a doctor look at it. Philip says to continue to watch it, and if it starts growing, then he will figure out a way to take her to the doctor. He says maybe one of those free clinics. Nancy could take the baby, and it would look like a non-English-speaking Mexican woman taking her baby in for a checkup, probably with no questions asked. I just hope it doesn't get any bigger, so she doesn't have to go to the hospital. I would want to go too, and I don't think Philip would allow that. Philip has bought a digital camera for the business. He will be gone all day today, and I want to use it to take some photos of the baby and A. Nancy gave the baby a really cute dress. It is pink with little flowers on it. I get her dressed, and I think at the time I was given a disposable camera for pictures of A. Philip said as long as I took pictures of just the baby, he would allow me to take them. Nancy had gotten a really pretty pink dress for the baby at her work. It was crocheted. I got pictures of her walking, taking a bath, and in her favorite rocking chair. When Philip got them developed for me, I made a scrapbook with them. She was about 6 months before I was able to get any pictures of her, except for one that Nancy took when she was 1 month old. But I have none from when she was first born. I like having a digital camera because now I can take all the pictures I want and print them right here. G looks so cute as I pose her for a few perfect shots. Philip is going out every day to find us jobs. I think Nancy will be able to quit her job soon and spend the whole day with me and the girls. He has set up a CB radio, which we use to communicate with him while he's on the road. On most days, he leaves at 7 or 8 in the morning and doesn't come home until dinner time, around 5 or 6 at night. To contact him on the road, he's taught us to say, "Breaker, breaker, Skywalker, do you copy?" Skywalker is his handle. He says, we can pick a handle to be called too, so when he calls, we will know it is him and not a stranger on the same frequency. Nancy's handle is Baby Blue. She says Philip calls her that, and that when they used to go up to the mountain to get high, They would take a CB radio with them and talk to all the truckers. I picked the name Data, which is my favorite character on Star Trek The Next Generation. And A wants to be Tinky Winky from the Teletubbies, her favorite show. Philip says the more time he spends out in the field, the more jobs he can get. The CB radio lets him be out and not worry about us at home. I can't wait until Nancy can stay home with us all day. I really need some help with the girls. Philip is gone most of the day and doesn't really help with them when he's home. Yes, I have all I need physically for them, but I wish he would spend some more time at home. I am getting so overwhelmed. A is reminding me more and more of my mom. Sometimes when I look at her, all I see is my mom. I must put those thoughts behind me. It just makes me sad to look at her, and I don't want to feel that way. I need to change these feelings into something positive instead of negative. Philip has been teaching me how to use affirmations to change my thinking process. I know in time it will get easier, and I won't feel like this every day. Reflection. This seems like a good place to give a little update on how my girls are faring now. It is the first day of real school for them. Wow, I can't believe I am writing those words. This is something I have dreamed about for them for so long. I have done my best to educate them in the backyard, but I could only go so far. My education level only went to the fifth grade. Philip always believed school was a terrible environment. He thought it was so much better to homeschool the kids than for them to be in public school. He used to say he had created the perfect environment for raising children. We never had a choice in the matter. Philip believes public school would expose the girls to bad influences, like bad language, drugs, bullies, and all the things he believed the kids should be sheltered from. While I agree with him that some schools are not the best environment for growing children, I do believe in education. I love school. I didn't always love the kids that I went to school with. At times, they were mean, or I was just too shy to stick up for myself. But overall, my experience in school was positive. I don't think Philip enjoyed his school years, and that, combined with drug use in high school, gave him a warped sense of what life is like. I believe that in many ways, he wanted to create his own little world, and for a while, he succeeded at the expense of others. I was just a character in his world, a world he created for his own benefit. My own education stopped at the fifth grade level, and although I have kept myself reading and learning all these years, I am still not a teacher. Thank goodness for the internet! I know what people are thinking, and the answer is yes. Yes, I did think about using the internet to find my mom. But Philip told me and convinced me that he was monitoring everything I did on the internet, and he would find out each and everything I did on it. He said the computer kept a record of everything, and he could see it any time he wanted. If not for the internet, I don't think I would have been able to educate the girls at the level I did. When I proposed the idea of enacting an actual school schedule for them, it was at first met with some hesitation. Philip believed that within a few more years, he would be able to hire someone to educate them. The girls also had their own issues with doing school every day. These are very strong-willed girls. Nothing like their mom or their sister, as I was known at the time. They didn't understand why all of a sudden they had to keep a schedule. They were used to doing pretty much anything they wanted during the day, as long as it was in the backyard. No playmates for them, no sleepovers, no playdates at the skating rink. Their day was pretty much just video games and certain TV channels and programs approved by Philip. Anyway, I ended up winning the school battle, and before they knew it, I had them going to school from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. I would print out their worksheets the night before and put them in special folders I made for each of them. They had 4 subjects: math, spelling and reading, social studies, and science. I love websites like enchantedlearning.com and superteacherworksheets.com, which are great for all subjects. We had a lot of printers. Philip loved Canon printers and the separate ink cartridges the brand made. It made the printing business a lot cheaper to run because he filled his own cartridges and bought the ink in bulk. So I had everything I needed to print the worksheets for the girls. We always had leftover paper around, so that wasn't a problem either. I would stay up late and print their worksheets at night before I went to bed. In the morning, I would get up about 9 to start my day. I would wake the girls up and tell them to get up and get dressed for the day, then go inside the studio building, now called the office, and make Hills Brothers cappuccino, double mocha flavor, while I watched the Today Show. The girls would come in and want to go up to the house to get some breakfast. Philip told them they must always call first. The girls and I grew up knowing he was on parole for the rape of a woman in his past. It wasn't something we questioned him on. Philip was afraid his parole agent would show up unexpectedly, and he didn't want the agent to see where the girls came from. He was sleeping in the house lately with Nancy and his mom. He didn't want anybody to see the back property. I always thought it was so strange that not one of Philip's parole agents knew that the property extended further back. I just figured they didn't care and thought Philip was a totally rehabilitated offender. I wanted something to change. I wanted his parole agents to ask questions. If Philip wouldn't be able to answer, maybe something would change. I also feared whatever change would come. I didn't have anywhere to go. I had the girls to take care of. But I wanted them to have a better life. I just couldn't do it for myself. I needed someone to free me, but no one did. I, however, have mixed feelings about high school. On the one hand, for 18 years, I had been taught that schools are bad, and kids learn bad things there, and peer pressure can ruin a child's life forever. But when I consider who I heard all this from, a kidnapper, a rapist, pedophile, narcissistic pervert, I can only come to one conclusion. Maybe school isn't so bad after all. I don't know what my high school experience would have been like. Part of me would like to go back in time and take that first step out of the car as a new freshman. And part of me is so glad I didn't have to. I look at my daughter now and see what it could have been like for me had I not been kidnapped and taken away from my life at the age of 11. Both of my girls are going to school full-time now. When they first made this decision, I didn't want them to see how the idea scared me to death. How all I could think about was how much school would change them and how lonely I would be without them and how the thought of anything happening to them would just kill me. But I knew saying any of these things aloud wouldn't help. So I supported them. Taking A to shadow at different high schools, helping G decide what school and grade would be best for her. Taking them back to school shopping, and then before I knew it, A's first day arrived. It was a Tuesday. I made her a veggie roll-up, I asked how she was feeling, and she said she was nervous and excited. A week before, we attended orientation. What an experience that was. I felt so out of place, like I didn't belong. A nudged me and said, "Hey, you're making me nervous." So, after that, I really tried to seem calm and in the moment. But all I can think about was if this is what it would have been like for me. That day ended up being really good for her. She was nervous about the other kids, but after seeing that they were just as scared as she was, it helped her to not feel so out of place. Unlike me, I felt very out of place. I think part of it was being afraid people were thinking, "How can she be a mom? I'm short, and have been told I look very young for my age. And then there's the fact that I gave birth to her when I was only 14. Of course people must be curious. Nobody said anything to me, though, and I started to relax and just enjoy being on campus. We listened to the principal. We watched as he introduced his assistant and turned just in time to see her pulling a finger out of her nose. That helped to relieve some of the tension that I felt just from being there. Watching A getting her student ID, gym locker, and watching her interact with the other kids was an eye-opening experience. I realized she was going to be okay, and in realizing that, I have gained peace of mind. Walking the high school grounds brought up feelings of grief for what I had lost. I even felt some jealousy and envy deep down inside. I should have had the opportunity to have these experiences, but they were forcibly taken away from me. Now, I have the opportunity to take back a piece of my life that was taken. I have always dreamed about going back to school. Sometimes, I even had dreams that Philip would let me go to school, and I would actually dream about my school days. Sometimes, they would be so real, my mind sees them as actual events. Early in my captivity, I felt so alone. I didn't know where I was, so I didn't believe anyone could find me. I was afraid to try to get away, thinking that even if I could, what if something even worse happened to me? I was so scared. I wonder what would have happened if I was rescued in the very beginning. I know I'm being redundant and a little off topic here, but Philip gave me this awful image of the world. To me, a large part of the world was made up of pedophiles and rapists. I have come to realize this is not true. There are some really fantastic, wonderful, and helpful people out here who have been amazing and comforting and try every day to do the right thing. I was conditioned to think the outside world was a scary place, and the only place I was safe and my girls were safe was to stay with their dad. He always took care of everything. He always had an answer for everything. If I ever questioned him, yes, he would listen, but then he would tell me why I was wrong and why only his way would work. One of the reasons I stayed was I wanted my kids to be safe. The outside world was scary for me. I was so afraid that if I left or tried to leave and take them both with me, I wouldn't be able to protect them. I knew they were safe in the backyard. I didn't have to worry about anyone taking them like I was taken. Being in the outside world at times still scares me, and sometimes I want to hold my kids close and never let go. But I know that I am 1% of the population. Stranger abduction is very rare. And still, I have to remind myself of this fact every time I drop them off and leave. I hope they grow up with a greater sense of self than I had. I was raised to be polite to my elders. In most cases, this is right. But there are moments in which all of us need to have a backbone and feel that we have the right to say no to adults if we believe they are doing the wrong thing. You must find your voice and not be afraid to speak up. I gave my power to my abductor. I was the one to comfort him when he was the one in the wrong. Where was my comfort? Where was my freedom? Why did I feel the need to comfort my tormentor? Violating my body was not enough? He had to violate my mind as well? He had the ability to turn every situation to suit his needs. What happened to the bullheaded part of me? I knew I had to do what he told me and not complain. My fear was doing something wrong and Philip getting mad, and who knows what would have happened then. Instinctively, I knew I had to cooperate with him or else. I hated what he was doing to me, but I felt helpless to do anything about it. When he would cry afterwards and thank me for helping him with his sexual problem. I wanted to yell and scream, to please let me go. I didn't want to help him with anything. I've come to realize that Philip Garrido is and was a very selfish man. He took me away from my family, from a mother that I loved with all my soul and I still needed desperately. He did disgusting things to me. He told me all along that I was helping him. He used to cry and say he was sorry after he was done with me, and I would forgive him and say it was okay, that I was okay. I was not okay. That was the confusing part. He could be an animal doing disgusting things to me one minute, and then the next, crying and asking for forgiveness. It confused the hell out of me. Now I know it was all part of his manipulation, a game he has been playing all his life. When he took Katie Calloway, kidnapped and raped her, he used the same excuses he did on me. He had a sex problem he needed help with. He used the same platitudes, such as, "Don't struggle and it will be easier for you. Just let me act out my fantasies and everything will go good for you." Basically the same as what I was hearing. Even though I have forgiven him, it does not negate the facts. I have learned so many new facts about him. I'm not sure if I have the right to forgive him. I will probably struggle with this question for the rest of my life. Yes, in his mind, he wanted us to be a family. But when I think back, I can see we were just pretending. Pretending everything was okay. Pretending the girls didn't need to go to school. Pretending that it was normal for me not to be driving. Normal for us to not have friends. Normal that Philip was hearing voices. He will always be their father. Nothing can change that. There are so many opportunities out there for us now. I can't wait to see what the girls do with their lives now that there is no one to tell us we can't climb a mountain in Istanbul or fly a plane over the Swiss Alps or even just take a walk by ourselves down a quiet street. All this is open to us now, where once it was not. It still scares me, the fact that I can't protect my daughters from everything. What mother wouldn't want to protect their child from the dangers of the world? But I have to choose to believe that they will be okay and realize that sometimes when we shelter our children too much, we are really protecting ourselves. My mom survived the loss of me. I think it was a good thing she had my sister to keep her busy. But she never gave up hope of finding me one day. I know this now. For a long time, I chose not to think about certain things, like my mom, because it was just too painful. Sometimes I would think about what ifs, or remember certain times we were together. But mostly, I just tried not to think at all. I used to only allow myself to think about her on her birthday. I would give myself permission to cry and think about her only then. Sometimes my mind would not cooperate and wander with thoughts of her. Did she stay in Tahoe? Is she thinking of me? One time, I got this strange feeling that she was gone from the world. I remember I felt devastated. I had to keep convincing myself that it wasn't true and to stop scaring myself like that. Thank God it wasn't true. Nancy becomes mom. Nancy has quit her job at CAP and is staying home now. Philip says that the printing business is generating enough money to see us through until he becomes famous. He always talks about how one day he will be famous because of the songs he has written. He says he has songs for everyone. He has even written one for his mom. Nancy is always telling me that I need to pump him up, meaning pump his ego so he will continue to move forward and not go back to his old ways. He's taking new medication that his psychiatrist has prescribed him. I have learned that one of his therapists diagnosed him with ADD, attention deficit disorder. He said this therapist changed his life. He finally understands why he felt the need to self-medicate all these years. Since they treat ADD with methamphetamines, he believes that's what he subconsciously was trying to do all these years. Now he has been assigned a new psychiatrist who has prescribed dextrodrine for his ADD and Zoloft for his manic depression, which his other therapist also diagnosed him with. Reflection. What I have learned is the difference between supportive therapy and enabling therapy. In my opinion, from reading several reports, one of Philip's therapists was an enabling therapist who explained away why Philip didn't show up for appointments. In one incident, Philip had tested dirty on one of the random drug tests he was asked to do. When it came back dirty, he told his therapist that he was at a party and someone must have slipped it in his drink. The worst part is the therapist apparently believed him and made excuses to the parole board for him. He and Nancy both saw this therapist 3 days before they took me from my home and 4 days after. I'm not saying that the therapist should have known. I'm just saying it's strange that the therapist would not have seen something amiss. Philip was given the excuse he had been looking for. His self-medicating all these years was apparently due to the fact that he had ADD and bipolar disorder. The psychiatrist recommended Zoloft for bipolar and Ritalin for ADD. I wonder what would have happened if that therapist had held Philip accountable. The psychiatrist who prescribed Philip's drugs was also an enabler. He used to have Philip come to his office every month or so, and apparently he thought Philip was a changed man too. Printing for Less started making and printing his business cards, letterhead, and envelopes. He wanted an exact color and font match, and that was very difficult on inkjet printers, and the color didn't always come out right, and we'd have to reprint. In 2008, Philip went to see him with Nancy. Philip told me later, when he got home, that he had finally told the psychiatrist that he had been hearing voices. Philip told me that for the next 3 months, the doctor didn't return any of Philip's messages or letters, and that he went without his medication for all those months too. By then, he had switched to dextrodrine for ADD and wasn't taking anything for the bipolar. Philip said that with God's help, he can control the manic side of his personality, and most of the time he succeeded. Philip had a hard time focusing on anything for long time periods. His thoughts were scattered, and his mind was going in 50 different directions at once. Everything seemed to be falling apart. We were all miserable. The doctor finally mailed Philip a prescription for his ADD meds. But what I find strange is, wasn't this psychiatrist curious as to why his patient was acting like this and what his patient was up to? In my eyes, Philip was essentially asking for help and didn't get it. What can you say? Then his mom fell and things just got worse. Philip says Nancy is really having a hard time when he and the babies call me mommy. He says she's had a few miscarriages and her blood pressure problems have always prevented her from keeping a baby to term. That makes me feel really bad for her. Philip says she feels like an outsider as she watches me and the kids, and it's tearing her apart. He says it would be a good idea to bring us all together so we can all be a family for the kids if we start calling her mom and referring to me as the girl's sister. I don't want Nancy to feel like she is an outsider. I just don't want to call her mom. I have a mom. I love and miss my mom. Doesn't he know how hard this is for me? It would be nice if the girls didn't depend on me for everything. I could use some more help with them. And some adult conversation would be wonderful too. I know it will be a little confusing for A at first, because she is so used to calling me mommy. But I think she loves Nancy too. And if she sees me doing it, she'll follow along. If we start now, Philip says G will think Nancy is her mom, and A is young enough to forget about me in time. Nancy will finally feel like part of the family. He says I should pick a name that I would like to be called. After a couple of days of thinking, I decide on my new name and tell Philip and Nancy my choice. I say I want to be called Alyssa. I used to love to watch Who's the Boss, and my favorite actress is Alyssa Milano. But I want a different spelling. I want it spelled A-L-L-I-S-S-A. This is what the girls will grow up calling me. Pretending to be a family. It was the 4th of July yesterday, and Philip wanted us to go up on the roof of the barn and watch the fireworks. I was scared to climb the ladder, and even more scared to be up on that old falling down barn with the girls. But Philip said it was really sturdy and safe, and if it could support him, it could support us. So we all climbed the ladder, and he carried the girls up one at a time. A is 4, and G is already 1 and walking everywhere she can. She is always on the go. She is saying words like Lissa, Daddy, and Mum. It is a warm night outside. The stars are shining, and the moon is a crescent in the sky above me. I sit on the roof, and I think of my mom as I gaze at the moon. I think of her, and I sing to myself the song we used to sing together. I see the moon, and the moon sees me. God bless the moon, and God bless me. I miss her so much. G is getting restless. Nancy is trying to talk to her and get her to watch the fireworks. I think the loud noises are scaring her, and I long to hold her close, but I don't want it to look like I'm taking over from Nancy. G is squirming and fighting to get free from Nancy's hold on her. She is reaching back towards me to hold her. I tell Nancy that I will hold her if she wants me to, but she thinks the fireworks are just scaring her. She tells Philip that she thinks we should go inside. Philip is getting restless too. So we all climb back down and go inside where Nancy gives me the baby to breastfeed. Sometimes I feel like all I do is feed her. She loves to eat, but sometimes I think it is more of a comfort thing with her. She's always so restless and fidgety. She loves her pacifier. We call it her Bucky. I feel better now that she is in my arms. On the roof, I felt like my pulse was going to jump out of my skin. I wanted to just grab her and hold her to me. I would not have known what to say to Nancy after that. Our relationship is so tenuous. I am trying hard to hold on to what little we have built. Philip and Nancy are taking us to the beach today. I am a little scared because I haven't been out in public for a long time. What if I do something wrong? Philip says we will just be an ordinary family at the beach. There's nothing to worry about. When we arrive at the beach, it gives me an amazing feeling of freedom. I know I'm not free, though. We park along a rocky cliff and get out to look at the ocean. When A gets out, she is immediately terrified of the cliff and falls to her knees in fear. I want to go to her, comfort her, and tell her it's okay, that there is nothing to be afraid of. But Philip is there with her instead and tells her he will carry her down. We spend many hours on the beach. I love playing in the water with the girls. Nancy comes to play too. Philip sits on a blanket in the sand and reads his Bible. After lunch, we all head for a walk down the beach. My legs are burning, even though I have been exercising with Nancy. The girls are having a fun day, and I'm glad they get to have this experience. Philip's back starts to hurt him, so we make our way back to the car and go home to the backyard. A few weeks later, Nancy says she wants us to go get our nails done. She says she is going to work on Philip to convince him that this would be good for our relationship. On the inside, I really don't want to go anywhere. I'm afraid, too. Philip comes to me and gives me $100 and says Nancy is going to take me on an outing. He says it will be fun. I get in the car with Nancy and we take off for the nail salon. I am so nervous. What if the person doing my nails sees my hand shaking? When we arrive, I put on my I can do this face and follow Nancy in. She tells the Japanese lady that we want a manicure. I sit down in the chair and hand my hand over to the lady. Thankfully, it is not visibly shaking. But I am on the inside. I just want to go back to the girls. The lady asks me questions, and I answer automatically. I am not really here. I am not an actual person. I am nobody, and nobody sees me. My nails are done, and we go back in the car. We stop for lunch at Jack in the Box and eat in the car. Nancy really enjoyed getting her nails done. She got a French manicure and says the lady chipped one of her nails. I tell her I can hardly see it, and her nails look beautiful. We arrive home. Philip is sitting in his chair, reading the Bible, and the kids are watching The Lion King. Nothing has changed, yet everything has. I went out today and came back, and nobody noticed. Nobody cared to ask who I was. Our next outing is to Walmart. I stick close to Nancy and feel self-conscious being here. I look no one in the eye. My hands are shaking. Will anyone notice? Reflection. I wasn't allowed to leave Philip's secret backyard until my youngest daughter was 2 and we went to the Brentwood Corn Fest. By then, Philip had Nancy cut my hair really short and dyed it brown. I had put on about 30 extra pounds from being pregnant, and Philip didn't think there was any way anyone was going to recognize me. I remember being really nervous, and when I arrived, I stuck real close to Philip and kept my eyes averted from everyone. Nancy gave me a big baggy black shirt, and I wore black jeans. By then, I had resigned myself to my fate. The biggest memory I have from that day was I had no voice, and I didn't shout to the world, "Hey, it's me, JC," even though I longed to. I was Alyssa, the girl who gave birth to 2 girls that needed to be protected from the evilness of the world, and that was my main goal. I don't remember too much from that day. I do remember Philip encouraging me to go on one of the rides. I didn't want to go by myself, but I ended up on the swing ride that takes you round and round. I remember thinking, as the ride made circles around itself, that I wish I was free, like the people I see here. Free to walk around and be me. But I wasn't. The next time we went out was Halloween that same year, 1999. We went to the Smith Farm, and we all dressed up that year. Me and Nancy were hippies. A was Belle from Beauty and the Beast, and my youngest daughter was Blue from Blue's Clues. Philip wore his old 70s-style rock and roll outfit that he had kept from his days when he was in a band. He brought his guitar and serenaded anyone that would listen. It was quite embarrassing, but everyone was friendly and polite. The kids got to pick pumpkins, and it was fun. One thing remained the same. I knew we had to return to the secret backyard, where there was no house to come home to, just a building, and by that time, a few tents. One outing melted into the next. I learned to not look people in the eye. I felt if I did, they would ask me questions I couldn't possibly answer. I stuck close to Nancy. I could feel my hands shaking when I reached out to touch something I wanted. In time, going out became easier, and we even brought the girls shopping with us. But I could never shake the feeling that one day someone would say, "Hey, aren't you that missing girl?" But nobody ever did. I was nobody. Nobody saw me.